Mr. Doty was a night shift mechanic on the Governor Cuomo bridge project, and he worked to repair a crane in this instance, called out to fix the crane. The employer owned four Ringer crane barges. Essentially, you can see there in the lower right, lower left-hand corner, the Strong Island. That is a spud barge. You can see the spuds on either side. Well, it was spudded up whenever Mr. Doty was on it trying to repair the crane. He went to the cab to try to assess the problem and inspect, and then he was working his way up. The crane structure fell off and was hurt. He sued for Jones Act negligence and under general maritime law. And in the alternative, he filed a Section 905B vessel negligence claim. Tappan Zee moved for summary judgment because they said he was not a seaman, and the Second Circuit built on its published decision from 2017, the N. Ray Tilcon case, and we talked about that a few years ago. Tilcon was a published opinion. The Doty opinion was not. But the Tilcon opinion, in some ways, is a precursor to the shift or clarification in the law in the Fifth Circuit, because in the Tilcon case, the Second Circuit held that a worker working, in that case, it was a barge maintainer who was working on rock barges primarily that were tied up to the dock. Second Circuit says you're not exposed to sea perils in that circumstance. Here, same issue, but it involved a worker who, in this instance, was out in the middle of the Hudson River. And there's the bridge structure you can see in the larger picture on the slide. The court goes through and compares and says that Mr. Doty was very similar to Mr. Volk in the Tilcon case, and goes through a litany that they've gone through before, and that is, he performed work on stationary vessels. Never before has movement of a vessel been so important to seaman status, both in the Second Circuit as well as the Fifth. He didn't work on moving vessels. He didn't operate or assist in navigation, and he didn't hold any maritime license, and he went home every night. He didn't sleep on the vessel. He was just like Mr. Volk. He was not a seaman, and the Second Circuit affirmed summary judgment on the seaman status test. Also, with regard to his 905B case, the Second Circuit went through the analytical framework where you have to pretend that an employer has two capacities. This, of course, is a dual capacity claim. Because Tappan Zee was the owner of that vessel, actually, I think they were the ProHawk owner, but because they were the owner of that vessel, even though they were the longshore employer, they could be sued because they were also the vessel owner, pursuant to 905B of the Longshore Act. With regard to that vessel negligence claim, the Second Circuit says, well, wait a second, we have to analyze whether Tappan Zee was operating in its function as a vessel owner or was it operating as a shoreside employer. And here it can get a little tricky, a little metaphysical, if you will, but they said, no, this is a construction project. He's working on a crane associated with that construction project. It was operating in its capacity as a bridge constructor, not as a vessel owner on this stationary Ringer barge that he was on at the time. So he had no 905B case because they were operating in their capacity as an employer. Second Circuit affirmed summary judgment. With that, I believe I turn it back over to Michael.
It sounds like the, revisiting the old First Circuit test that was reversed in Stewart versus Dutra. If vessel motion is now what counts. Okay, I'm going to jump on to a subject near and dear to my heart. We've got three COGSA cases, but don't worry, I'll get through them quickly. Page 18, Progressive Rail versus CSX. We've talked about this issue in the past. We know the traditional Himalaya Clause gives the negligent subcontractor the benefit of the carrier's limitations and defenses. But in the last 5 years or so, we have seen courts increasingly enforce covenants not to sue, starting with the Ninth Circuit, then the Second Circuit, and then dicta in the Fifth Circuit. Now we have a clear holding in the Sixth Circuit upholding covenant not to sue. Page 20, Elko Insurance Company versus Spirit Trucking Company. Section 3.6 of COGSA is the one-year time for suit provision. The issue in this case was whether or not you lose the benefit of the time for suit provision following a deviation. Most of the country, you lose the benefit of the package limitation following an unreasonable deviation. Most courts have held you do not lose the benefit of the one-year time for suit provision after deviation. This case, the Northern District of Illinois goes with the majority rule. It says that even after an unreasonable deviation, you still need to bring your suit within a year. Somewhat interesting, of course, the Northern District of Illinois is in the Seventh Circuit, which is the one circuit that says you still get the package limitation even after an unreasonable deviation. District Court doesn't talk about that. And then finally, page 20 of the materials, case name that's far too long to pronounce given the time available.